I want to turn briefly in God's Word this evening to the book of Ruth, and to the chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth is that small book near the commencement of the Old Testament. Sometimes it's a wee bit tricky to find, but it's right between Judges and 1 Samuel. And we're going to read a few verses here in Ruth chapter 1. We'll break into the chapter at verse 6. And then read down to verse 18. Ruth chapter 1, and we're commencing to read at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them to labor grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 18. May God bless his truth to our hearts. Let's just ask for God's help now as we come to the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of testimony. We thank you, O Lord, for your dealings in the life of our sister, and for how you have drawn her unto yourself. And we pray, O God, you'll even bless that word of testimony to our hearts and to our lives. But Lord, now as we come to your truth, we pray, O God, thou would speak to us. We thank you that as the word of God speaks, it is God himself who speaks. We pray, O God, thou would speak to each and every individual here. Thou art the one that knows each one here tonight. There's none that is hid from thee. There is none that is, Lord, not known unto thee. You're the one who knows each spiritual state and heart. So we pray, O God, thou wouldst come and thou wouldst reveal yourself to each one here tonight, particularly to those that are out of Christ, still in their sin. Lord, reveal yourself to them and may they come to see their need of thee. Help us, Lord, in the preaching of your word. May your hand be upon us for good. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The story of Ruth and how God worked in her life is one of the great and fascinating incidents found in the Word of God. Quite literally, we can say Ruth's story is one of ruin to riches. It is one where great devastation is turned into great delight, and where terrible bitterness becomes terrific blessedness. This is what happened in the life of Ruth. And as we read through these verses, we see how this story unfolds and how God worked in her life in the most marvelous and in the most wonderful way. Indeed, in thinking of this book in a general sense, we can say it really does set before us God's so great salvation. How God moved and worked in Ruth's life teaches us very clearly how God works in salvation in the lives of men and women. Here was Ruth living as a heathen in Moab. She would have had no knowledge of God and his truth. Instead, she would have been brought up to worship the false gods of Moab. Chemosh and Baal-peor were the false gods of Moab. And Ruth would have been brought up to worship these gods. She knew nothing of the true God. As well as being born into this dark and dreadful situation, Ruth also came to experience great disappointment and great disaster in life. Shortly after she got married, her husband dies. And she is now left a young, poor widow woman. And so everything about Ruth's life seemed to be sad and hopeless. As we meet with her in the scriptures, her life seems to be falling apart. Her life seems to be one of disaster and misery. In this sense, she is a real picture of the sinner. She reminds us of the position of all men and women are found in by nature. As we are born into this world in sin, we are found in a most sad and miserable position. The Lord Jesus, speaking of man and sin, says in Matthew 17, verse 13, he is on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. This is the place, this is the position that men and women are found in by nature, on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Maybe you think tonight, well, you know, my life's not so bad. What are you talking about? I'm not in this miserable position that Ruth was in. But you know, outside of Christ, every person is found in a miserable position because they're on the broad way. And at the end of that broad way, there is destruction. There's eternal ruin. Oh, that people could understand this. In sin, they are headed for destruction. Eternal destruction. Headed for that dreadful place the Bible calls hell. And the lake of fire. This was the path Ruth was on. She was found in this sinful condition, living in the land of Moab. However, God marvelously stepped into her life, and the whole course of her life was changed. In the final chapters of this book, read of what a happy and blessed life she came to enjoy. She became the wife of a mighty man of wealth, and God gave to her a family. Ruth then, in the end of this book, is a great picture of the Christian, and how the person who has trusted in Christ is blessed with new life. For Ruth, all things passed away, and all things became new. And this is what happens when a sinner repents of their sin and comes to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They receive new life, and they're brought into a new family, and they're given this glorious hope, and all is well with their soul. They are now made rich because Christ, the mighty man of wealth, has become their Savior. The book of Ruth then sets before us the transforming power of God's salvation. Teaches us what God can do in the lives of sinners. Yet tonight, as we turn to this wonderful book, I want us to think about a very important incident which took place in Ruth's life. In fact, we could say this was the pivotal moment, not only in Ruth's life, but also in the life of her sister-in-law, Orpah. This was the great pivotal moment in both their lives. This was the moment that really changed everything. Naomi, the mother-in-law of these two young ladies, had decided she would return again to Bethlehem, for she had heard that in Bethlehem there was food there. Naomi, the mother-in-law of these two young ladies, had come with her husband and two sons some years before this to the land of Moab because she had heard there was bread there. But as she had lived in the land of Moab, her husband died and her two sons died. And so she was found in a sad and lonely position. And as she lives there, she hears that in Judah and Bethlehem, where they were from, God had blessed them again with bread. The famine was over. And so Naomi decides to return again to Bethlehem. She then makes this news known to her two widowed daughters-in-law. She tells them she's leaving Moab and she's going to return to Bethlehem. Ruth and Orpah then travel with Naomi the first part of this journey. They go the first leg of the journey. However, there comes a point in this journey where Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, go back to Moab. Don't come any further with me. Return to Moab and to your families there. See what it says in verse 11. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Naomi saying to her daughters-in-law, I cannot provide for you. I have no sons you can marry. Go back to Moab. Go back to your people. This was the situation that faced Ruth and Orpah. And we can say this decision they now faced was really a pivotal moment in their lives. The decision that was now before them was one that would greatly affect the rest of their lives. It was decision time. Decision time for Ruth and Orpah. Would they go back? Would they return to the heathen land of Moab? Or would they go with Naomi and join with God's people in Israel? This was the decision that faced these two young ladies. What would they do? So we have this pivotal moment. Now, in one sense, tonight as we're found in God's house, we're found in a similar situation. You see, every time the gospel is preached, every time we hear of Christ, there is a decision to be made. This evening, we again stand upon the path of truth. And we all will decide what direction we will take. Each and every person in this meeting tonight will decide what direction we will take. We will either take Christ or reject Him. We will either seek Christ as our Savior or we will shun Him. In that sense, we too are at a pivotal moment. A moment which will affect our life. But also a moment that will affect our eternity. And so tonight, as we think of this pivotal moment which took place in the lives of both Ruth and Orpah, I want us to think upon the subject, decision time. Decision time. And how important we understand there is a decision to be made tonight. The gospel is preached. Christ is presented. You will make a decision before you leave this building tonight. You will decide what you're going to do with Christ. That cannot be ducked. That issue must be faced. You will decide what you will do. And so we're coming tonight to look at the decision time. There's just two things I want us to consider here. Notice firstly in this passage, we have a tragic decision. Tragic decision. See the words of verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Here we read of the decision which Orpah made. She decided that she would not go on any further with Naomi. And so she kissed her goodbye. And she returned again down the road, headed back to the land of Moab. Now, as we think of this decision that Orpah made, it really was a tragic decision. A terrible, tragic decision. And we can say it was a tragic decision for a couple of reasons. It was a tragic decision because of the privileges Orpah had enjoyed. Think here of the privileges and opportunity Orpah was given or afforded. She had come into contact with the family of Elimelech and Naomi. A family that knew the truth of God. Most of the other people in Moab did not enjoy the privileges of knowing the truth of God. However, Orpah did, because God had brought into Orpah's life this family from Judah who knew God, who knew the truth of God. And so here was Orpah, out of all of the people, thousands upon thousands of people who lived in the land of Moab, but yet it was Orpah that God had brought the truth to, through the family of Elimelech. And so she was greatly privileged because she knew the truth. Think also about where she was when she made this decision to go back to Moab. She had already left Moab. And so she was already on the right path. She was on a path that would have brought her into the company of God's people. Ruth was traveling back to Bethlehem. She was traveling back to join with God's people. And Orpah was on this road with Naomi at this particular time. Therefore, how privileged and blessed Orpah was. God in His providence and love gave to Orpah this opportunity, this wonderful, this golden opportunity to leave Moab, the heathen and wicked land of Moab, and to join with God's people. Here it was all before Orpah. But the opportunity was there to be grasped. She was on the right road. And she knew the truth. But the great tragedy was, she turned back. She made a decision that day not to join God's believing people. This is the great tragedy of it, you see. With it all before her, we could say with it all almost in her grasp, she went back. And she didn't join with God's people. As we reflect upon the privileges and opportunity that God in mercy gave to Orpah, her decision truly was a tragic one. Yet this is the case in the lives of many. Sadly, it is the case in the lives of so many. God in His love and mercy has given to many people great privileges and wonderful opportunities to leave their sin and get right with God. And they've been so blessed. And yet they decide against Christ. Against Him. And they have decided so many times and so many occasions against Him. Perhaps as we think about your life, or as you think about your own life, you have had so many privileges. Brought up in the gospel, raised in the gospel, having Christian family, or having Christian parents and Christian friends, attending a church where the gospel is preached. Like Orpah, in many ways, we could say in regard to your life, well, it's really on the right road because of the privileges that you have had. Here you are in Protestant Ulster where the gospel is freely preached. God didn't place you into an Islamic country where the light of the gospel is not known. We had the TBS this week in our prayer meeting and it was over 260 million people don't even have a copy of the scriptures, but you're not one of them. Because God has given you this wonderful privilege of knowing the truth. Wonderful privilege. Therefore I say tonight, do not turn back. What a tragedy that would be. To know all of this truth. To have all of these privileges. And to turn back. And to reject Christ. Is this what you're doing? Perhaps even as you've come to God's house tonight, you've already said in your heart and your mind, I'm just going to get through that meeting and then I'm going to leave and forget about it. And so you've already decided to turn back. What a tragedy. What a terrible tragedy. It was a tragic decision because of the privileges Orpah had. It was also a tragic decision because of the path Orpah chose. In verse 15, we read of the path Orpah chose. Notice what it says there in verse 15. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. This is Naomi speaking about Orpah. She has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. This was the path Orpah chose. She chose the gods of Moab, Chemosh, and Baal-peor. This is what she chose. And the tragedy was, you see, that the gods of Moab, Chemosh, and Baal-peor could not provide Orpah with salvation. They were false gods. And so the path that Orpah chose was one without any hope. It was one without any salvation. Yes, she might have had many friends in Moab and enjoyed many good times in life after this. And we don't know, but in all likelihood, as Orpah went back to Moab, she might well have remarried, raised a family, and lived there and enjoyed many things in life. Many, many things. But what was ultimately important? The need of her soul's salvation. She missed out on this, you see. She chose the gods of Moab instead of the God of salvation. That's what she did. And though she might have had many things in life, she missed out on that which was ultimately important. The God that brings salvation and redemption and give to her eternal life. That's what she missed out on. Again, this is the great tragedy with many. They take the path of this world. And they follow the gods of this world. This is what they live for. And in so doing, they turn from Christ, the only one who can provide them with what they really need. Salvation from sin and from sin's consequences. And that's what so many do. They just live for the things of time. They live for the temporal things. The things of this world. That we can only have but for a moment. These things that are fading away. And they're so fickle and so empty at the end of the day. Think of someone who's lived all their life, worked and toiled to have many, many things. Then at the end of that life, they're laid in a casket, put into the ground. And all they have worked for is worthless. It's of no good to them. It's empty. And they have just lived for the things of this world. This is what the foolish farmer did that Christ spoke about. He lived for the things of time. He lived for the riches of this world. And Christ said he was a fool. He was a fool. To choose the world and the things of this world. To live for these things. And only these things. Is the most tragic thing to do. And this was what Orpah did. Ah, but is this what you're doing tonight? All you have is this world and what it can offer you. That's all you have. All the riches that you have are temporal, they're passing. You're like Esau. Remember Esau? He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He just wanted that. That's what he lost it after. That's what he craved for. Maybe that's like you. You're selling your soul for the empty things of this world, the gods of Moab. And my friend, your God could be many things. It could be riches. It could be pleasures. I don't know what it is. But as Orpah turned from Naomi and Ruth and went back to Moab, she chose the gods that were there in Moab. And she rejected the God of salvation. Is that what you're doing tonight? Oh, what a tragic thing that is to do. Because in so doing, you're despising your soul's eternal welfare. And you're plodding on further and further down that road, that broad road, which leads to destruction. This is what Orpah did. Orpah made this tragic decision. You know, we never read about her again in God's Word. After she leaves this roadside scene here, we never read about her again in Scripture. And that would suggest to me she never came to know God's salvation. She never came to know the Lord. She perished tragically in her sin. Decision time for her was a tragic decision. But then notice with me also here, not only a tragic decision. We can say we have in this story a terrific decision. See the words of verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Here we have Ruth's decision. We've thought upon Orpah's decision, but now here we have Ruth. Ruth decides with all of her heart to join with the people of God and to claim God, the one true and living God, the God of salvation, to be her God. This is the greatest and most terrific decision that any one could possibly ever make in life. To decide for Christ. To decide for the one who can save and grant unto you eternal life is the most wonderful and blessed decision. It was this decision that Paul made as Christ met with him on the road to Damascus. And oh, how his life was transformed. It was this decision that the Philippian jailer made as he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And the Philippian jailer decided for Christ. He believed in him. But there's truly no more important and life-changing decision that any sinner could make and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Indeed, as we think of Ruth here, we can say her decision to go with Naomi and join the people of God was a truly terrific decision for a number of reasons. It was a terrific decision because of what Ruth rejected. Because of what she rejected. As Ruth cleaved to Naomi and said to her, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." We see how she had rejected Moab. She had returned away and she had rejected the false gods of Moab that were found there. And she was determined in her heart. And notice there's language here. It is the language of someone who is utterly determined. Naomi, you're not going to turn me. I have left Moab. I have left the false gods of Moab behind. I have left that idolatrous and wicked and heathen place. It's all in the past now. And she was really saying to Naomi, I have rejected that life. And I have rejected the sin and the wickedness of the land of Moab. This was the terrific decision that she made. She turned from sin, the wickedness of the land of Moab. This, of course, is a very essential part of salvation. Forsaking and repenting of our sin. Isaiah 55 verse 7 exhorts, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Oh, this is what must happen if you are to be saved. You must recognize that you are a sinner. That you have sinned against God in so many ways. You were born in sin. You're guilty of sin. But there is the need to turn from that sin, even as Ruth turned from the land of Moab and she left it behind. There is a need to come before God as the publican did in the temple. And he came humble and he came lowly and he smote upon his breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Will you make this decision tonight? You make this decision to repent of your sin, acknowledge and confess before God your undoneness and your unholy state. And with brokenness and mourning of heart, repent of your sin. This was a terrific decision that Ruth made because of what Ruth rejected. But we can also say it was a terrific decision Ruth made because of what Ruth received. Because of what she received. Think of those words, those last words in verse 16. "Thy God, my God." That really sums it all up. "Thy God, my God." The God of creation, the God of salvation, the great and almighty God, now becomes Ruth's God. That's what happened when her sister Elizabeth Collins was converted. The God of creation and salvation became her personal God, became her Redeemer. And this is what happens here in Ruth's life. We can say, Ruth that day claimed Christ to be her Savior. And that marvelous decision that she made meant she received all of the blessings and benefits of being a child of God. She came to obtain all the privileges and benefits and blessings of being a child of God. And as we read through the rest of this short book, we discover that Ruth's life was never the same again. That's why this moment that we're speaking about was the pivotal moment in her life. Her life was never the same again. It changed from this day forth. Why? Because she knew the one true and living God and to be her God. This is what God's salvation does. When a sinner decides for Christ, when they make this wonderful decision to trust in Christ for salvation, then they will come to enjoy the greatest of all blessings. What happens when a person believes in Christ? What happens when a sinner makes this decision for the Savior? Well, first of all, they're cleansed from their sin. That's what happens. Your sin and your iniquities that are there standing before a holy God and are hanging over your head. And if judgment day was to come in about a moment, you would be damned to outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the reality of the situation now. But when you believe in Christ, you're cleansed from all of your sin. They're taken all away, every one of them. Not one stands to your account. Immediately cleansed when you decide for Christ. What else happens? Not only cleansed when you believe in Christ, but you're clothed. Clothed. You see, God not only deals with our sin, but He gives to us righteousness. He gives to us the garment of His perfect righteousness. And therefore, as we stand before God, our sin has not only been taken away, but we've been given the perfect and spotless righteousness of Christ. The holy righteousness of His Son becomes ours. And that's what happens when you believe. You've got a standing before God, therefore. Your sin is dealt with, and the righteousness of Christ is counted as yours. You're clothed. You're cleansed. What else happens when a person decides for Christ, when they believe in Him? Well, they will also be crowned. Crowned with eternal life. Eternal life and glory with God. This shall be their portion. You see, this is why This decision to decide for Christ is the most terrific decision, the most wonderful decision, because it deals with all of our sin. It gives to us all of Christ's righteousness, and it gives to us a crown and glory itself. This is what happens when a person embraces Jesus Christ as their Savior. This was the decision that Ruth made. Orpah made a tragic decision. She went back to the world and to her sin. Ruth made a terrific decision. She went with Naomi and she joined with God's people. She came to know and enjoy God's salvation. But it's now decision time for us. It's decision time for us. Here we are now. And we can say we are right at that point in the road where we will either decide for Christ or against Christ. I've already said, Orpah that day decided against Christ. She went back and we don't read about it again. You know, that could be your story tonight. You decide against God and against His salvation, against the Savior. This could be your last opportunity. Oh, don't let it be a tragic decision tonight. But decide for Christ. Come as a sinner, undone and unclean. Come and take Christ as your Savior. Oh, I trust you will. May God give you grace to do so. May God bless His truth to each one of our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen. And amen.